Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Feast of Trumpets once again. You know, we're hearing the special music, and thank you, by the way, very much for that. And the idea of resting before God, I mean, He has this all planned out, and we all need rest. It's, we just think we could be off working today, like most of the world. So we're truly grateful for not only the rest, but the meaning for all these days. And I just wanted to mention a quick update on Rodney Lobdell. He wanted to be here today, but he was feeling lightheaded and not so well. So please keep him in your prayers so that hopefully he can join us soon. And with that, I'll go ahead and begin with the sermon. Brethren, throughout history, one of the main uses of the trumpet has been to sound a warning. Think about how many times that's needed over the years. It's a type of alarm meant to get people's attention. And when you have a large group like the children of Israel, you definitely needed, you couldn't call them up or do certain things that we do today. And so once they heard that message, they had to move to action. There was something they needed to do. And so for Israel, various blasts of the trumpet were to, one, assemble the people, just like God has called us here. He's assembling us. Other times it was to gather the elders. Sometimes it was to warn of an upcoming enemy that was approaching, or even to march forward to the next destination. So the trumpet was used in many different ways. And so today we have various types of alarms as well. You know, most of us have a fire alarm or a smoke alarm or our horn that we use as, you know, an alarm to the other person, like, hey, you're veering into my lane. And so alarms are used to wake us up to a particular situation. But once we're awake, we need to do something. We need to make a choice. And you think about some of the alarms man has, you know, besides the ones I mentioned, we even have an alarm clock. You know, most of us have used that throughout our history to get up in the morning to make sure we're not late for work. And some of man's alarms can be false, right? I mean, if you've ever been in a business where the alarms went off and they go, oh, false alarm, you know, everybody can go back now after the fire. Or I know my smoke detectors have gone off in the night and you go, and there was no smoke. For some reason, they malfunctioned or the battery was not working properly. But consider that God never gives a false alarm. When He says something's going to happen, it will happen. And our spiritual lives can sometimes parallel the way we respond to our alarm clocks. I mean, think back over the years as you got up in the morning. Have you ever turned off your alarm clock and then not got up? I think most of us have. You know, so we can go back to sleep, we disregard it. Well, spiritually, we can look at God's warnings the same way. Like, oh, there's a warning. I'll kind of disregard that for now. Secondly, we can ignore it. In other words, in some cases, people get so used to that alarm going off that they sleep right through it. So are we so used to hearing God's warnings that we don't pay attention anymore? So we have to consider that. Of course, there's also the idea that we can delay our alarm. You know, we can hit the snooze button. We can put off getting ready, like, oh, just a couple more minutes to lay here, to stay warm if it's the winter time, or to get a little more rest. But we think about the parable of the 10 virgins. We're told that half of them are wise. But the other fact is that they all slept. They all slept, and they had to wake up. And so we can oversleep in a sense. We can not pay attention to God's warnings. In a sense, you could say the foolish ones kept pushing the snooze button. In other words, they delayed getting ready for what God was preparing them for. And as Christians, we can't afford to do that. God is asking each one of us to get ready for the precious events that He has planned out. And our Father desires for us to wake up, to get ready for His Son's return, which is approaching. It is getting closer. Turn with me to Exodus 19 and verse 16. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16. In this story, the Israelites had come out of Egypt 2 months prior, so they were pretty new to this. And they were wandering, and God wanted to speak to them. So He told Moses, He said, get my people ready. You know, get them cleaned up, get them washed, and bring them together. And so He reminded them of the Ten Commandments, and He literally tried to set them apart, consecrate them, wash them, and then bring them together. So let's read a few verses here. Exodus 19, we'll begin in verse 16. It says, then it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. So God was meeting with his people. He wanted to make himself known. And it's likely that every time a trumpet was blown after this, Israel would be reminded of this event. I mean, how would you forget such a tremendous event here? Continuing in verse 17, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Verse 19, and when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. So the word trumpet here in verse 16, as well as in verse 19, is the Hebrew word shofar. Now, just before services, one of the members said, she was talking to a couple of members, and they didn't even know what a shofar looked like. So I said, well, if you want to set it up by the podium, I'll go ahead and show. But, you know, most of us are aware, but, I mean, here's a ram's horn. Must have been a pretty big ram. But they, you know, they cut the horns off, they hollow it out, and you can blow and make this tremendous sound that could be heard for a long distance. I'm not going to try blowing it. Oops. I'll leave it on. You know, it's curved, so it just wants to keep rolling. So anyway, the shofar was one of the types of trumpets that the children of Israel used. And you think about that. Somebody was designed to or asked to blow it, and they used it for the different purposes. So let me give you the definition from the dictionary of a shofar. It's a horn from a clean animal, usually a ram's horn, blown by the ancient Hebrews in battle and during religious ceremonies. And the International Standard Version words verse 19 this way. As the sound of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses would speak, and God would answer with thunder. So the Israelites heard this miraculous trumpet sound, and then they started fearing. I mean, we can't imagine how loud it got. It says it became louder and louder. I think if we were there, we would be trembling as well. So this reminds us of how the seven trumpets will sound at the end of the age. Imagine God having angels blow so that the whole world hears it. I think people will wake up and consider what's happening. Consider for a moment hearing a similar sound filling the earth at the return of Christ. Not just once, but for the seven trumpets that are blown. And this feast day reminds us of coming events that will take place at the sound of a trumpet. God wants us to think about those. He wants us to be ready for them. We can't afford to ignore the meaning of this day or to delay being prepared. So God is asking us to really stop and think on this holy day, as well as all his annual and weekly holy days, to really stop and consider what he's telling us through his voice. The title of my message today is A Trumpet Warning. And this Feast of Trumpets has a tremendous amount of meaning, because at the end of this age, God will begin to wake up the whole world with the sounding of seven trumpets. It'll be pretty amazing. And it'll be sad for those who have to experience what happens during these trumpets. And at that time, mankind will then have a choice of how they want to respond to the alarm of those trumpets. Of course, Christians cannot wait until then, right? I mean, that time is not for the church. That's for the people of the world to wake up and get going. And so we have been invited to get ready now. And if we don't listen at this time, when we've been called, then we will not be protected from the catastrophic events that are coming. Nobody wants to go through those times. We know God can protect us. And yet, if we don't listen, we won't be ready for the return of our Savior. So God is inviting us to think about this now, on this day, and throughout the year. And so my purpose today is to remind us that this Feast of Trumpets is a warning for each of us to get ready. This day pictures great things. We know about the return of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure what was covered this morning in the sermon. But you consider all the ramifications of that. How many things will happen just with Christ returning, being king over this earth, as well as the first resurrection, and the opportunity for us to be raised into Christ's family, into the family of God, with him as our elder brother and our soon-to-be husband. So much is happening there, and we'll talk a little more about that later, but we shouldn't forget that there are six other trumpets that are sounded during this time. And each of those blasts announced terrible events that no one would want to be a part of. And yet that's on the horizon. So God wants us to think about that, to consider it. And as we keep the feast each year, God is warning his children to be prepared for what is coming. So we have to analyze, ask ourselves, you know, how ready are we for what God has planned out? Turn with me back to Leviticus 23. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. So God's children are commanded to assemble on this festival. It's a beautiful thing that he's done. He has a reason and a purpose for it. And we all come from different walks of life. We have different backgrounds, but he's invited us together to have unity, to come and hear his plan and learn of his ways, be reminded of what he's going to do. So we're very blessed in that. And here we read in Leviticus 23, verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. So God says, I put my name on them. I created them. Only I can make something holy. And the term there, holy convocation, literally means sacred assembly. I mean, it's sacred because we're coming into God's presence. And he's invited us to come together, to gather, to hear his voice. And so we're blessed, whether it's giving an offering or to come into God's presence. And you think about how precious that is just to come here today. And that's why we dress up the best we can, because we're coming before God, not to make a show of anything, but to honor God. Let's drop down to verse 4. It says, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. The Hebrew word there for the term appointed times is moed. It means an assembly or an appointment with God. Isn't that special that God is inviting his children to gather together, you know, to assemble together, to meet with God? And yet, look at how few in the world actually join together on this day, literally meet with God. Verse 23, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal. So we know that no regular work is done on this day. And if we were to look at the Hebrew calendar, we see that this is the seventh month, and today is the first day of that month. And it says it's a memorial, which means it's intended to remind people on a yearly basis. This is a good thing to remember. As we observe this day, God is reminding us of his excellent plan that not only affects us, but all the people on earth. They don't know that yet, but we will have the opportunity to help teach them that in the future. And year by year, God is showing us what he intends to do. Because as children, as little ones, just like on a physical level, we tend to forget things. We tend to get busy in life and overlook some things. And yet at the end time, God will use a trumpet to warn all the people, saying, I mean what I say. These things are coming. This is what I'll do. This is what you need to do. And so we're to learn that same lesson now. And God has given us this feast as a trumpet warning. It's a type of an alarm clock, right? So we decide whether we're going to delay it and push the snooze button or whether we're going to sleep through it while it's going off. But God is literally saying to us, get up, be awake, don't delay. I want you to hear my trumpet, my voice. I'm talking to you. I'm asking you to listen so that you don't have to go through some of the things that are coming. You know, the phrase blowing of trumpets in verse 24 is the Hebrew word teruah. And that word can mean acclamation of joy or a battle cry, especially the noise of trumpets. It can also mean an alarm or a loud noise. If I were to read verse 24 in the God's Word translation, it says, it will be a memorial day, a holy assembly, announced by the blowing of ram's horns. So a ram's horn was loud and could be heard far away. I'm not sure of the distance, but I'm sure somebody could hear it several miles away. and it was perfect for getting the people's attention. And so on this Feast of Trumpets, God is asking for our undivided attention because we need to listen to his voice. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1 and verse 1. You know, in the near future, God is going to make sure the whole earth hears his message. They will hear the trumpet blast. And as we look at his scriptures today, we see that all his warnings are loud and clear. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Brethren, God wants us to know the things that could come upon us quickly, that he wants us to be prepared no matter whether it comes soon or later. And the reason for that is so we're not caught off guard. Because if we're not careful, we can be. Verse 2 says, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. And then let's focus on verse 3. Blessed is he. So put yourself in this place. You know, blessed are we if we read, he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The word here, keep, in the Greek, means to guard by keeping your eyes on it. God says, don't lose sight of it. In other words, have that vision. That word keep also means to hold fast, to observe, or to watch. It also talks about the time is near. The word time means the occasion or the season. And then the word near means at hand. So God says the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, you don't know when it's coming, but in this small segment of time that you have in your life, you better get ready. Because it doesn't matter whether you're alive or dead when Christ comes. He can raise, he'll change both. But he says you better be ready. This means once we're called, we cannot delay preparing for what he says, for what is coming. Jesus is telling us to guard these prophecies and hold fast to them because his kingdom is rapidly approaching. And we can say that today, but just think if all of a sudden we were right now at the Great Tribulation, we go, oh, I wished I'd gotten a little more ready. So we don't want to have to say that. We want to get ready now. Let's drop down to verse 10. And John writes, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice. Notice once again how God's voice comes across, as of a trumpet. And we know this is God's voice. Look at the first part of verse 11, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. So God speaks to us through Scripture in the sense of as a trumpet. And John was being shown what would happen during the day of the Lord, a future time when God would pour out his wrath on mankind. So notice the reference to a miraculous voice sounding like a trumpet. And that's what the next verse indicates. You know, God wants us to pay attention to his voice, to have that proper fear as the Israelites had, back where we read in Exodus. And just like the children of Israel, they trembled. I mean, we should have this deep respect, this awesome fear for God in a proper way because of who he is and what he will do. Let's go next to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. Revelation 6, verse 12. And in this chapter, John begins to describe the first six seals. Now, those first four point to, as we know, deception and war, famine and pestilence. So some pretty tough times that come. And then these events will begin to intensify. And so if we were to read through this in more detail, we'd see that a quarter of mankind will die. So if we just use a rough figure of 8 billion people on earth, and we say a quarter, that's 2 billion people. Can you imagine that? That is a lot of people. If we took the population of the United States at, let's say, a third of a billion, that would be six of our nation's populations put together to equal that. So then after that, it comes to the fifth seal, which is the Great Tribulation, and then the sixth, the heavenly signs. And so These two seals occur during the final 3.5 years before Christ's return. Let's read verse 14. It says, "Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place." Verse 17. "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Brethren, the seventh seal is the beginning of the day of the Lord, and this will include all seven trumpets. That's why I wanted to touch a little bit on these other six. It's not just about the return of Christ or the resurrection of the saints. It's about these events that even precede that, that we need to be prepared for. Everyone that God calls is given a warning. God's going to give everyone a chance to get ready, just as we have our opportunity now, because we're told that judgment is upon the house of God. We are that house, we are that church, and God is saying, "Children, now is your time." Go forward to Revelation 8 and verse 1. And we know that God reveals where this world is headed. You know, it's a bit sad when we look at it, because we appreciate life here. But God says utter destruction is coming. And unless he intervenes, based on the elect, everyone would be destroyed. And yet we know the entire world is asleep, and God is going to wake them up. He's going to get them ready to be taught, and we will have a part in that. And our job is to help with teaching the nations. Guess what that means? That means you and I have to prepare now, right? I mean, even all of us together are going to have to share the knowledge of God's way as spirit beings in the family of God. Revelation 8, verse 1, "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." So as we assemble here today on the Feast of Trumpets, we recognize this holy day does picture the return of Jesus Christ. I mean, that is absolutely exciting. And that's so much of what we think about, and that's a good thing to dwell on. The return of the very Son of God who sits at the right hand, who is ready to come back, ready to rule with authority and power and love. But not only that, it's the resurrection of the saints, whether they're alive or dead, to be changed into spirit beings. This is what God has planned out. And so as we think about that, we have to consider another aspect of what this day signifies. The elect are to get ready for those events, not just look forward to them. So we have knowledge of them. We look down the road and we go, that is wonderful, that hopefully in the coming years, all this will take place. We're told to seek the kingdom of God, to put that first, along with his righteousness. And so our lives should reflect that. As we look and see who we are, we have to consider where we're at. Let's drop down to verse 5. As we begin to get into these seven trumpets, it says, "Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake." And verse 6, "So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." So what we read back in Exodus 19, that the mountain quaked. Well, here's another earthquake. So God really knows how to get everyone's attention. He understands that sometimes we are focused on the wrong things. And when he begins to do these steps here, it's going to hopefully grab most everyone's attention. The blowing of seven trumpets will announce the overthrow of this world's kingdoms. I mean, that's a good thing because nobody's perfect. Many of our rulers around the world make so many mistakes, and God will begin to pour out his anger on the inhabitants of the earth. Why? Because of man's disobedience. I mean, when we reject God, as the cursing and blessings chapter says, you know, God eventually brings disaster. And this is where it's all headed, because man is unwilling to change. And yet, as long as we're listening to the voice of God, we don't need to worry about these first six trumpets, in the sense that God will take care of us. He's watching over us. But it comes down to, are we willing to obey God? Are we willing to listen and follow? Because then he will protect us, he will deliver us, he will guide us, as long as we're doers and not just hearers. So he's asking us to not only read these words, but as we read earlier, to keep them, to observe them closely, to pay attention. So let's look at these seven trumpets and consider whether we're ready for them to sound. Because it will happen. And for some of us, it might be sooner than later because, in other words, we might not be ready for them. And so we need to imagine what John is describing here so that we make an effort not to be a part of it. So verse 7, we're looking at the first trumpet here that is blown. Here in chapter 8 of Revelation, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So just take a moment, reflect on this. Can you imagine the world going through this first trumpet situation here? The amount of smoke, fires everywhere, things burning. I mean, as each of these trumpets sound, God is allowing conditions to wake up the nations. His goal is to humble people, to bring them to him so he can teach them, so they can prepare for his new government. That's what we're doing now, and everyone will have their chance. You know, these seven trumpets will warn the world in the near future, but God's feast days are warning us today. Think about it. We're in training so that we don't have to go through these things. At times, we ignore the alarms of God, but we know he's very patient with us. I mean, if you look at your life, you go, God is very merciful to me, just to call me, to work with me, to forgive me, to love me, to help me along the way. But if we continue to disregard his alarm, as we read here today, the outcome is disastrous. So hold your place in Revelation. We'll be coming back here quite a bit. But let's go now to Ezekiel 33. Because as we go through these seven trumpets, I'm going to tie in a few other places where God speaks through his prophets to give us warnings, to hear his trumpet voice, as it were. And so Ezekiel 33 and verse 1. The prophet Ezekiel talks about terrible things that would come upon Israel. And yet the prophet is actually talking about and warning modern Israel and the church. How do we know that? Because ancient Israel went into captivity about 140 years before Ezekiel even prophesied these items. So God wasn't speaking to them like, be careful, you don't go into captivity. They've already been there for a good while. And so let's read Ezekiel 33. We'll read the first five verses. It says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. So we have to take that into our lives. Think about it. Are we listening to the warnings of God? Verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. So in essence, what God is telling us, if we come back to this feast day and we look about the trumpets that are going to happen in the future, he's saying, this is what I want you to do. I'm using a watchman to warn all of you, but are you listening? Are you preparing? Because that will come back on you. So this scripture is telling us how important it is to listen to the voice of God, to really consider what he's saying. And this feast is a reminder to hear God's voice, because he is warning us to wake up and to get ready. Verse 6, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So think about the responsibility of a watchman. He has not only his own life that he's responsible for, but the other people that he's helping, serving, that he's watching for. And so today, the church could be one of those watchmen, right, that or to teach the proper things and keep an eye and to remind the people. A minister could be a watchman, but also it comes back on all of you as parents. You're a watchman for your children, to warn them, to guide them, to teach them, to look ahead, to just in this sense. So in a way, we all have responsibilities as a watch person. To avoid these coming tragedies, we need to listen to every warning that God offers, not just some of them. skipping down to verse 10. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, he says, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Once again, we could put our name in there. You know, this is speaking to the children of Israel, but for everyone that reads the Bible, we have to consider this. Are we willing to turn from how we're living? Turn closer to God. So whether it's as a nation, whether it's as a member of God's church, will we take heed and allow God to write his laws on our hearts? That takes time. It takes effort. And Paul refers to church members as the Israel of God, as I've mentioned recently in a sermon, Galatians 6, because it gives us definitions there that show it's just not the world. It's people that are overcoming and growing. It's the church of God. It's the members. And we are the Israel of God, as it says there. So God is speaking to us in many of these prophecies. And one of the things he's reminding us, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, I'll just refer to that. Examine yourselves, Paul says, as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. So do we do that? Do we literally prove to ourselves whether we're walking the right path? And if we don't follow this advice, we will deceive ourselves into thinking we're doing just fine. And many people over the decades and the centuries have walked away from the church because they deceive themselves. The pull is there to go back in the world. Satan's giving a little push, if he can, to move us in that direction. And God's inviting us. He won't force us, but he says, draw near to me. And we have to consider that. We've been given knowledge that we were responsible for. And Paul, in that same verse that I just mentioned, continues with, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Pretty big question to us. That we, as Paul says later, that our bodies are the temple of his Holy Spirit. God wants to reside in us. Unless we allow that, we're not really his children. We can be baptized, but if that spirit isn't renewed, if it isn't continuing to be there, that is what connects us to God. And so as God leads us, we need to be fully awake to what he's encouraging us to do, to look closely at how we live our lives, to inspect, to see where we stand. Is my opinion, is your opinion, the same as God's? Like I might think, hey, Doug Wentz is doing pretty good. But what does God think? That's important because he's my judge. And my vision can be skewed, so can yours. So God is saying, think about it. Examine whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Revelation chapter 8. Let's go back to there. Revelation 8 and verse 8. So here we have the second trumpet. We're briefly just touching on these on this day of trumpets. Revelation 8, we'll read verses 8 through 9, which says, then the second angel sounded. Once again, sit back and listen and picture the condition in the world when this happens. And something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. That's pretty horrific to think about. Verse 9, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So we see here some horrendous trials are on the horizon. And this second trumpet blast will wake up, hopefully, most people on earth. Of course, we know some continue to refuse, as we read in a little bit. But these warnings are meant to turn all of mankind back to God. Or I shouldn't say back to God, because they're not. To turn them to him, thinking that they'd never left him. But it might even some that have drifted from the church turn back because we wake up. And some people will refuse to listen through the majority of the plagues. This can parallel our church as well, can't it? I mean, we don't always listen the first time when God corrects us. And so each trumpet plague comes along, and hopefully we listen. If we didn't listen the first time, the next time. Under this second trumpet, let's go to Romans 13. Romans 13 and verse 11. So let's consider here another warning for God's church today. Brethren, what really, as we look at the Bible, what I'm trying to do is connect that all of God's commands, all of the directives he gives us, kind of fall under the category of his voice is like a trumpet and he's sounding out to get our attention and say, I invite you to walk my way and have life. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That statement will always be true, even if it's a second later, a day, 100 years later. Our salvation is drawing closer. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. It says, and do this. In other words, we're to live by God's laws. His voice is trumpeting out like, live by all my laws. They're scattered here and there, you know, Sabbath keeping, what we should eat, how we should live, how we should treat one another. And so every day we are growing closer to the kingdom of God. In essence, God is sounding his alarm clock, and he wants all of us to be spiritually awake. There's no good reason to delay, no good reason to ignore his warnings. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 8. We'll look at the third trumpet. Revelation 8, verse 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Isn't that sad? So many people perish. When it says many, you know, God's inspired word says that. I don't know how many people, but when I grew up in the church, I didn't include these trumpet plagues as a part of what this Feast of Trumpets pictures. I always just thought, return of Christ, resurrection of the saints. But these are also the trumpets that will sound right connected with that. So we have to consider all seven. And if we're not ready for the return of Christ or to be raised into the family of God, then we're setting ourselves up to take part in these. Does that make sense? That God doesn't want us to go through these. He wants us to listen and respond so that we don't suffer. So therefore, we have important choices to make. And this day, and every year as a memorial, as a reminder, like, we don't have to go through these, and we can also be blessed by God and invited to be a part of his family. Holding your place once again in Revelation, let's go back to Zephaniah 1. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 2. So as we look at the book of Zephaniah, the introduction here is very serious. Notice what God says to the prophet Zephaniah that he writes down for us. We'll just read a couple of these words. Zephaniah 1 and verse 2. This is God speaking. It says, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks, along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Eternal. So we can say, wow, this is strong. It's truthful. And my question would be, like, when is this going to happen? Well, let's drop down to verse 6. God says, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. So now we see the timing. God's telling us this is the end time just ahead of us. The day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests. So those in the world that are sacrificing, in a sense, to their false gods by the way they live, they will become the sacrifice. This is what God is saying. How sad that is. Their invited guests are the armies of the beast power that God will use to destroy them. And that powerful end-time system will knock down all those who continue in their sinful ways. So God has a way of working all this out. He's got so many things at work we cannot begin to imagine. Let's drop down to verse 14. which says the great day of the Lord is near. So he's repeating that we know the time frame here, and we're living right before all this. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty man shall cry out. Now, we'll read verses 16 and 17. Just touching on a few scriptures here. A day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men. Then God, he always tells us why. I mean, we don't have any excuse to understand, you know, what is really the reason for this. He says, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. So this Feast of Trumpets is an alarm for us to get ready now. Not next year. Not, oh, when we graduate or get out of college or when we retire. No, it's now for every one of us, young and old. This is what God is telling us. None of us can afford to disregard God's words, to sleep through it, to delay it. He's saying now. Our calling is now, and our choices will determine the future we have. Are we working on our bad habits? Because when those terrible times come, it will be too late to overcome. That's why judgment is on us now. We have to think about that. You know, through the ages, God has always sounded an alarm to remind us of the path that we should walk. So he's always fair. We have to just listen to our Heavenly Father. Let's go back to Revelation 8, and verse 12. So when we think about this, this is pretty heavy stuff that God is sharing with us, but it's for a purpose, hopefully to stir our minds a little bit to think about our part in all this. Revelation 8, verse 12. Consider as we read another one, another trumpet, that each of these plagues are added on top of the previous one. So if you thought this one was bad, here comes another. They're still struggling from the previous. Revelation 8, verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that the third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So what a difference that would be. You know, you already have all these things happening in the world, and now you go outside, and you go, wow, it's kind of weird, you know, eerie, like darker than normal. I don't know exactly how it'll be, but when I picture it, I go, it's going to get people's attention like we've never seen anything like this. So God will begin to grab man's attention like, I have all power, God's saying. I can change things. I can withhold this and that. And whether we're alive at Christ's return or not, we still need to listen to these words because we are once again being judged now on whether we will be raised with Christ when he returns. So my question is, why should we go through more tribulation? Why should we go and add more trials to our lives if we don't have to? Turn with me next to Joel chapter 2. Joel 2 and verse 1. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. And so Joel was inspired to write about the last days. Through the prophets, God has warned all of his people down through the ages. So others heard the message. They might not have had a Bible always to read, but the prophet spoke to them. And it's easy to think that we can sometimes ignore God's words and get away from it, or you know, get not have any punishment from it. So Joel 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. Brethren, we can't fully imagine how scared people on earth will be, how worried, just like, what is going on? And so this Feast of Trumpets reminds us that when God sounds an alarm, we need to listen carefully. I mean, that is the voice of God speaking to us as our loving parent. Drop down to verse 11. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? And verse 12, now therefore, says the Lord. So here, you know, God is giving a call to repentance. This is the reason this is all coming, because of the actions of people. Verse 12, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So even if we don't live till that time, we must allow God to build his character in us. We can't do that overnight. Are we ready to be the bride of Christ? Isn't that what God is preparing each of us to be? To be wed to the Son of God for the rest of eternity? Because we know God will bring about these events. He cannot lie. So he's asking us kindly, timely, saying, please consider my words. Back to Revelation 9. Revelation 9 and verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And verse 3. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. You know, it's hard to fully imagine what's all taking place here, but the locusts are symbolic of the beast's military power. We can read about that in Revelation 17. And so these things are coming. God is telling us about it. Let's continue in verse 4. He says, they were commanded, so these locusts, these individuals, were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. We definitely want to have that seal. We want to have God's Spirit, his protection. Because in verse 5 it says, and they were not given authority to kill them. It's like, oh, that's good, but notice. But to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Do we realize how bad this will be? Verse 6 gives an indication. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. We cannot imagine that torment even if it was for one day, let alone for 5 months. We don't want to be a part of that. Only the servants of God will have that seal of protection. So it behooves us to walk this way, to listen to God's voice, to listen to his trumpet blasting out. Because in chapter 7, we won't turn there, but it speaks of the 144,000 that will be protected out of the house of Israel. That's not a lot when God says, oh, I will multiply, you know, to Abraham. Your descendants will be as the stars of heaven. Only 144,000 is nothing compared to those that are yet remaining on the earth. So very few are going to be protected. Continuing here in chapter 9, we'll look at verse 11. It says, let me see, chapter 9, verse 11 says, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. So the fifth trumpet, as we know, if we've studied into this, is the first woe. And we know the world is a mess right now, but it's going to get much worse in the coming years. You know, as we watch the news, we see little bits of things turning negative. But God sees the whole picture, and he knows the timing. And we know that God will allow Satan to turn this world upside down. There's only one way to survive that. It'll be to stand on Jesus Christ, that rock, that solid foundation. And if we don't, then we're going to fall with everyone else. So we need God's protection so we don't have to experience the things that we read here. Every prophet gave warning from God. I'll just mention one of the prophecies of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 4 and verse 19, referring to that, he says, I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. So once again, here's another prophet of God just speaking about, you know, these items, these events that would come that nobody would want to go through. So when people hear the sound of the fifth trumpet, they will feel the same way as Jeremiah expressed. And as we watch the news, the headlines show that we're drawing closer day by day. Are we preparing our life so that we are ready for those events that we know are sure to come? Because God has spoken them. They will happen. When we think about Jesus' statement, he says, watch and pray always that you're accounted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass. So we're praying about it, but we're also watching We're looking at things to so it doesn't come by surprise. And God won't count us worthy if we're not examining ourselves, if we're not obeying his laws, if we're not walking his way. And yet we know it's easy to neglect what God gives us. Every one of us, if we were honest with ourselves, we could write down several things where we aren't fully on the path of God in certain areas. We need to look at that because our minds can trick us. We can think we're getting away with it, like, oh, God's really not noticing that I'm doing this or that, whatever sins. And yet God says, I mean what I say, and punishment, correction will come. So we need to think about that. Back to Revelation 9 then. And we'll pick it up in verse 13, which says, then the sixth angel sounded, and behold, or and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Then verse 15, well, verse 14 as well, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released. And then this is staggering. They were released to kill a third of mankind. Enormous numbers. So if we had that rough estimate before of 8 billion, a quarter had died, so we said approximately 2 billion. That leaves 6. Here's a third of mankind. If you have 6, a third of that is another 2 billion. So then you may have only half the population. You know, let's say 4 billion of the 8 originally. That is an enormous amount of people. And yet, these events aren't even over yet. There's more to come. So God is truly going to wake people up. He wants us to be wide awake. He wants us to consider this feast day, that it's a warning to get ready for what he has stated. Because we know the world is going to fall apart, won't it? I mean, if I didn't have access to this knowledge, if I didn't have God's help through his Spirit, I wouldn't even know how to take this. I mean, it's like, I got to survive, you know, shoot that person, take their food. I mean, our minds just go crazy when we aren't led by God's Spirit, which is why we have the conditions in the world. And so we have the choice whether to be under God's protection or to stand on our own. Those who try to do that, well, you can go out and buy all the gold you want. That's not going to do you much good. You can try to hoard food or hoard guns. But, you know, when everything starts to fall apart, all those items, our simple little way to do the best we can, but God says, those aren't going to count for anything. We need God. You know, in Ephesians 5, Paul refers to the church needs to be wide awake. You know, he says, awake, you who sleep, talking to us. And so he tells us there to walk circumspectly, which means diligently. Are we walking properly before God? It means to strive to walk a perfect way, to follow Christ. And our day-to-day decisions will determine how ready we are for that time when Christ returns. Let's continue here in verse 15 of Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 15. So, brethren, we can try to stay as we are. We can try to hide who we are, but that only delays us in preparing for what God has said is coming. And verse 15 is one of the main things we're looking forward to on this Day of Trumpets. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So this is the trumpet blast that we've all been looking forward to. But sometimes we forget these other six trumpets occur beforehand. And so if we listen to the voice of God, then at the seventh trumpet, our bodies will be changed to spirit. God says there will be no more death for us. There will be no more, eventually, no more tears, no more sorrow. So God has this beautiful plan. It's moving along, but we need to make sure we're paying attention to it. You know, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4, a scripture we're quite familiar with. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14. We know the promises of God will be fulfilled. Let's notice two of those promises here. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. It says, For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. What a wonderful statement that all those who have died in the grave as the saints, God will bring with him. And so the first promise here, Christ will return to the earth. Men will have their first righteous king in the history of time. You know, all of men, even if they do their best, they're not going to be like Christ. Consider all the changes that are coming. And then verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So the second promise, if we're called, chosen, and faithful, God says, I want to bring you into my family. Your bodies will be changed to spirit. You will live forever. So what a wonderful thing that God is doing. And yet we have all these steps leading up to this, all these trumpets that come, like, wow, scary, atrocious things. And I won't even get into it, but after Christ's return, we're told about the seven last plagues that come. That's going to be on those who refuse to repent. You know, think about how stubborn man can be, how rebellious we've been. So let's turn to Daniel 7 as we conclude here. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. I don't think any of us would want to go through any of those first six trumpets. Those events are terrible. Many people will not survive. And God is saying to all of us, we have a choice. We don't have to go through that. And he's warning us to choose the right way, to choose life. Notice here, Daniel 7, verse 14 tells us, then to him, speaking of Christ, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. So 2,600 years ago, approximately, God gave Daniel, a vision and have told him about the kingdoms that would come. And we're still in that fourth kingdom of the ones he named. And this fifth kingdom under Jesus Christ is yet to come, the kingdom of God. And so we're looking forward to that because God says this will last forever. We don't have to worry about it falling apart. Verse 18 here in Daniel 7 tells us, but the saints, so we have to listen up, this is referring to us. The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So shouldn't we be willing to give up everything that we want or have in order to have a part of this? This is what God is asking us to do, to let go of those worldly things and those wrong things, those sins that we sometimes cling to, and to let it go and follow Christ. To be willing to forsake all, even our very life. Because the kingdom of God is happening. It will come to pass. God will offer that to all of mankind in due time. And we have this beautiful future ahead of us. Verse 27, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. There we are referred to again. And I don't know if you look at yourself as a saint, but this is what God is calling us. If we're his child, he calls us saints. He calls us the elect. And we must not think highly of ourselves, but we have to realize this is what we've been called to do so that we can prepare to join the family of God. And so all of these promises, including these ones we just wrapped up with, are a part of what this day pictures. So there's a lot there that sometimes we focus mainly on the two. The seventh trumpet and the couple items that happen under that trumpet. And so if we let go of this Feast of Trumpets, we literally can lose sight of its meaning. That's why God gives it to us year by year, because we can't afford to let it go. This is a reminder of our purpose for life, what our future we will have under God's government. We were created to become the children of God, and this day reminds us of our future if we follow through. One of the items the Apostle Peter mentioned in 2 Peter 3:9 is that the type of children God desires. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be loyal, faithful. He wants us to endure. And so all those things are, once again, from the voice of God, sharing how we should live. So are we willing to listen to the warnings that God gives us? The warning to be awake, to be alert, to be ready, prepared, to fight, to overcome, to run our race, all those statements, those are all from the voice of God, like blaring out like a trumpet, like, listen, do I have your attention? So brethren, God is warning us to get ready to receive the promises that he set before us. Beautiful promises ahead, you know, and after those first trumpet plagues. Today is a yearly memorial. God is saying, this is a reminder for all of you, my children. Don't forget. Don't stray off the path. Look to what I'm promising. Believe I will fulfill it. And I will even help you do your part so that you can be there. It will be an unbelievable future. So let's listen to God's trumpet warnings so that we are ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Have a good rest of the day, the Feast of Trumpets.